It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Hancock each and every day from Phoenix, Arizona. Lovely, lovely Phoenix, Arizona until about, I don't know, 2.5 more months from now. It won't be so lovely anymore. That's a dry heat, though. I tell you, I came to appreciate Phoenix a lot more in the summer. A couple summers ago, I spent in Iowa for a couple weeks, and I'm telling you, man, dang, give me the dry heat any day. The 120-degree dry heat, I don't care. Get me out of that wool blanket that I can't get away from. So I look forward to making Arizona freer. You know, that's kind of my goal. Do I have to go somewhere else? And, you know, lack it, then leave. You know, I'm kind of, you know, taking, if you don't like being free, then leave. I'm really, that's what it was founded on. I'm not the interloper, you are. You know, if you're coming in taking from me, I'm like, ooh, who's the bad guy here? I just want to be left alone, and you just won't leave me alone. That's how we find out who the bad guys are. Well, there's a few things I want to talk about today, because it's my birthday, and I can do what I want. Oh, yeah, 49. Got one more year to go, and I'm half century. I'd be a geezer, man. But, you know, I feel young. I mean, I feel good. You know, I've been juicing a lot. And hanging out with these young guys, they got it going on. They understand. They're well-read. You know, they know what's really going on from the street, not what, you know, some bullet point Fox News guy said as you're sitting there in your lounge chair or something. They're out in the street. They go, really? Let me tell you how demand really acts. Let me tell you what they really say. Let me tell you how much they really make up. I just had a gentleman in here just now. I had to call Phoenix Police Property Department to return a video camera of his. Or keeping it as evidence. Well, he went and pled guilty to whatever it was, you know, disorderly, just because he didn't know any better. If he pled not guilty, we'd have attorneys all over. And I had to talk to the attorney. He goes, well, how'd he plead? I go, did you plead? Guilty? Yep, can't help you. Life sucks. That's the way it is. So, you know, you get them in there and you mess with them. They're young. They don't know any better. But then they're keeping his video camera. Why? Punitive. Just be butt heads. They don't need it. He pled guilty. Got him. I'll give him his camera back. Oh, you don't want to? Okay. And I thought I didn't have a story. So we'll have some fun with that. Yeah, I mean, hopefully he'll just give it back. Okay, now, some of the other stuff that's been going on, in addition to in last hour, we had my wife tell us about Searchlight Nevada. And I'll just sum it up for you. For 2-3 weeks, we made a bunch of signs. You have a new way of doing it. You take a 10-foot piece of PVC irrigation pipe, just a white pipe that, you know, it's kind of bendable and you go, and we took and put nylon twine that went from the top down to like 2 feet from the base. So it kind of curved over like these flags you see in front of retail shops on the street and used car lots and that kind of stuff. And we made them ourselves because those are expensive, man. They're like, some of these are $140 or some stupid thing like that. Well, I made mine for $1.50 and we got those. It's like $1 for that PVC. And then you get, this plastic wrap stuff, you know, it's like Tyvek. It's not stronger than Tyvek. It doesn't rip, but Tyvek would work. And you put that on there and you cut the shape after you've done a stencil, made a design on it, and you zip tie it too and duct tape it or whatever. And you got signs. Well, how you put them in the ground is you take rebar and you cut them into sections about 2 feet long. And you just take a sledgehammer and you just pound it into the dirt. Okay, and then that just slips right over. It takes, like, I don't know, 20 seconds. But in there, bam, 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 bam. I mean, even the girls were able to pound that in. You give them big enough sledgehammer, enough time. So that's what they were doing. So a lot of the guys, you know, they just take a couple good whacks, and they're done. Slip that thing over and walk along, go do another one. Well, they had over 100 of them. And we had two different kinds, 100 of these. They blanketed three directions from Searchlight, going up to Vegas, going down to Laughlin, going west to L.A. Then you got a three-mile backup traffic jam to get into this thing. And what are they seeing? Every quarter mile, they got a sign. You know what we do? We branded love. We've got the love on the Tea Party Express because it needs some love. Excuse me. So, you know, this is a success. We had a good time. And, you know, they enjoyed themselves. I was in Pennsylvania and Tennessee, enjoying myself, going to some LP conventions there and talking to people and giving speeches and such. So we all, division of labor. Well, one of the benefits of this is these guys are experienced activists. We've been doing this for years. So they, you know, we had 15 people from Phoenix and Las Vegas or Nevada. They combined, went there, and, you know, Oath Keepers were there. They were helping us distribute stuff. And I had the Nevada Libertarian Party there. And we were just having a good time. Got the message shared with who? I don't know, people that are interested. Each one of these people is worth what? 100, 1,000, 10,000 people? You know, it's important. That's why we have the DVD duplicator. If you can get these movies, this information in the hands of people that care so that they can articulate it and tell the story and repeat what they learned and so on. And who does not want that to happen? Big bad guys. Oh, information is, man, that is, oh, heck no. You got any information, we want to be whatever we got to you. If we wanted you to think, we wouldn't be telling you what to think. So, you know, that's how this stuff happens. There's a lot of stuff going on. The other thing is we have the immigration issues still going on, the bill that's national ID. Well, you know, I'm like, of course we have reason to be concerned. You know, what's on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix right now? We got up here a story that they are now having branding. Human branding iron. Well, they may not burn you, but it's a biometrics identity management agency, BIMA. We got another initial agency. As of last week, there is now a U.S. government national security agency called the Biometrics Identity Management Agency. And guess what? They got a database for what? National ID. But of course, what did they say here? This bill that, you know, I got hammered on. Oh, I was doing acts of domestic terrorism by informing people about it. You know what? This is why they say it's not national ID. Well, yeah, it goes in national database, goes to Homeland Security, goes in and checks all this, blah, 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 biometric, real ID, all this. And the reason it's not national ID is because when a law enforcement official stops you, he's not required to run you through it. Therefore, it is not national ID. That's our argument. Okay. BS, but, you know, the thing is that, you know, how hard is it going to be changed to when you stop them? Thou shalt. And of course, you know, it's going to be routine anyway. You know, and that once they, because they're held harmless, and if they can't determine your identity, they detain you. If they can't determine your immigration status, you are detained. If you don't have your papers, please, you know, this is national ID. This is it. This is how it starts. This is, you know, this is all black and white Nazi movies. Okay. My making a big deal out of this. Oh, got him up. And it wasn't even me. It was Freedom's Phoenix. I just forwarded an email to a link that was on there. It just happened to got people all worked up. So they're blaming me, you know, for the opposition they have to it. Well, it's coming up this week. They're going to try it again to get it passed. And I'm sure there's a bunch of trading going on. Ooh, they want this bad. I mean, certain legislators, I tell you, Arizona legislators out there, you know, that, you know, want to know what you can get. If they need your vote on this, hold out, man. You can get, you know, villas. You know, you can get nice, shiny new Escalades. Hold out because, man, they want this in the worst way. And if you're holding out for something or just you're not going to sell out at all, well, they, you know, they got something on you. They'll share with you. This is how bad this is. This has been at least a decade-long effort from these same people. I know I've been covering this for 7 years on the radio, talking to these guys, having them come to the Arizona Breakfast Club, having them share with us all their motivation and everything. A whole bottom line, blah, 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 has nothing to do with immigration. It's about national ID. And I'm not even really sure what their reasoning is, but that they think that's going to, whatever. Somebody coming up here wanting to work is just not a big giant threat to me. It's the government that keeps giving away crap to everybody. You think I care whether they're from Mexico, they get, go to the library or send their kid to public school? I'm worried about everybody taking my money. For whatever, I don't care if you are from here. You're entitled to my money. Where does this entitlement thing come from anyway? Stinking thinking. Well, that's what we're working on. Right now in the newspapers here, they're going on about, real estate's hit the bottom. This is coming from the same people we've had on the air. We have four people on Charles' show. I was produced for Charles Goyette. Four people that were saying how all great and wonderful everything is from ASU, from the newspaper and real estate, saying, pay no attention to all the buildings not getting finished. When was that the peak? They were lying. I'll tell you more about it when we come back, because there's another shoe about to drop. You stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
It's the same old story. Same old song and dance over and 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 over. Let me tell you some of the goodies they're doing again. Here they're coming out. They're saying, it's all fixed. It's bottomed out. Phoenix real estate, it's all good now. You guys can come back in or it's fine. No, it's not. By any definition, if you know what to look for, I tell you the biggest thing is Donna's a real estate agent. I have my license, too. I got when I had a few weeks, and I did it just to make her mad. So, I have access to all this data. I use it to go on the MLS and search and stuff and everything. I don't do it. That's Donna's thing. She's much nicer. So Donna takes care of all the real estate. Donna, helps all her friends and activists and anybody dealing with real estate. She's all over it all the time. My kids looking for houses, all that. She's in there. And I say, look this up. Yeah, I want to know this. Let me at the computer. I want to look at, what do I look at? How many homes are up for sale? How long have they been on the market? How many are vacant? How many? There's all kinds of different databases you go through. At the peak, when it first started to drop off, over 40% of the homes that were for sale in the Phoenix area were vacant. Vacant. It was all speculative buying. We're going to sell it again or rent it or whatever. Well, the rent's like half what the mortgage is. Oh, we'll make it up when we sell it. No. And this is still going on now. Banks are not even foreclosed anymore. They're not even checking. They don't even know who the heck owns it. It's gotten this mortgage security wrapped up and sold in bank and went and refiled and county recorder got and somebody and we don't have. And they have no clue what's going on. Once this starts to get all kind of flushed out and the Fannie and Freddie that's been taken over by the government that backed up all this stuff. So who does that make your landlord now? Obama. We're going to be the Soviet Union. They're going to allow you to, you're poor here. You got a house to live in. I mean, you have no idea where this is going. Neither do I. But I know one thing. It's math. There are a lot of houses. Now, they may want to bulldoze a bunch in older neighborhoods and decrepit city centers or something like that. But, what are they going to do with all these gazillions of new homes that are less than a few years old here in Arizona? And this is what, I can't remember her name. She had a blog. It was called housingdoom.com. And she would come and I can't remember her name because she used an alias. And I can't remember, but I think her name's Debbie. And what she did is she was talking about how bad things were and how she knew. Had the Wall Street Journal came and talk, how do you know and you don't know and we got to, your blog is getting really popular, housingdoom.com. and it was getting her son to help her set it up. And she's just a research scientist. You know, she was like a botanist or something, but she knew how to do research. She's like, yeah, you go find this and this and this. She started because she had moved here, got a home, and saw something going on. I think her husband was a professional. He's an accountant or dentist or something like that. And what she did is she went and got all this information. She's going, oh my goodness. Then she partnered up with another guy that was a real estate broker, and he'd help her where to get access to information, and where he had access to certain bits of information that she normally wouldn't by not being an agent and such. And she started to keep track of this. Wall Street Journal comes out. Yeah. We're here to make fun of you. How do you know? She goes, you come out. I'll take you on a tour. So she took them around the outsides of the valley, Gilbert and Chandler areas, and so with all this big explosion of development was going on, and she would show them the houses that would have the styrofoam on the outside. And before they stucco it, they put this white styrofoam around it and then chicken wire, and then they stucco it and so on. That's one of the building techniques. Well, she'd show them how yellow the white styrofoam was. Look at this. You know how long it takes for that to turn yellow? How many months? And how many do you see? How many people do you see? And, you know, 300 homes are building in here, and you got 24 people that are living in here. And then when the development thing goes under and they're done, who's going to do the upkeep? And the way the contracts are, the homeowners association, it's split up. All the green area that's required by city stuff and all this other garbage gets divided up amongst the homeowners. And there's only, for 300 development, there's only a couple of dozen people, and they got to pay it all? Financially obligated and this and that. She's going through. She's going, look, this is done, man. It's over. No. No, we want to put doubt in your mind. Were they successful? No. She's like, I know better. You know, I know what's coming. So what's the thing we start getting, you know, last few days? We start having the newspaper. Oh, yeah, we hit the bottom. Liars. So here's another thing she's got. Another thing we've been talking about. I'm telling you. Phoenix. Retail shopping centers failing. About half of the small to mid-sized retail shopping centers in the metro area are in financial trouble, according to Marcus and Millichap's local office. And I guess Marcus and Millichap, there's somebody that I should care about. Now, this is from Housing Doom, okay? She put this up. Oh, yeah, and she goes by Twist. Her name is Twist. I think her name's Debbie. So Twist goes on, she says this, you know, that about half of the small to mid-sized retail shopping centers in Metro Phoenix are in financial trouble, according to Marcus and Millichap's local office. According to David Weta, director of Marcus and Millichap's National Retail Group, there are 1,753 retail properties in the valley between 5,000 and 300,000 square feet. So 5,000 is like a freestanding, I'd say Applebee's or something like that. Of that total, I estimate that 50% or about 876 are underwater. In other words, today's value and even tomorrow's value up to the next 5 years at least are less than the debt on these properties, he said. Weta predicts 50% of the centers in trouble will go through foreclosure or bankruptcy within 2 years. However, he said, it will take between 3 and 5 years for those properties to be sold to new owners and begin the process of normalization. Here in the Valley, we went through this before in the early 90s after savings and loan crap that was going on. And they did the, what'd they call it? RTC, Resolution Trust Corporation. And they kind of took everything and then resold it for pennies on the dollars to the very banks that are screwing us. Okay. So this is, and then they just keep doing this over and over and over. So we have, what we got to look forward to. I don't know. 77 neighborhood shopping centers have been noticed for trustee sale. Lenders have taken back 33 properties and listed 17 of those for sale. It's like watching a movie in slow motion, and I know how it ends, Weta said. At the same time that you have this kind of effort from people in the industry, people that know, people that are looking at the numbers, you have the Arizona Republic saying, oh, fear not, all is good. Well, when they were doing this before, we had them on the radio. And we're like, all right, give us your spiel. And they did their thing, sure enough. They go, oh, yeah, no, and this number and this study and this and this. And we're all just looking at each other. Charles and I were like, do they even know they're lying, or are they just wishful thinking, or they're just, you know, being paid or going, well, what, are they cheerleaders? You know, I don't get it. And that's why Jack Gregson, that puts these up, always has Will Ferrell and one of the women from Saturday Night Live. Remember when any of you have ever watched that? They go, oh, you know what he needs? He needs the perfect cheer. They go into a cheer routine. They're Spartan cheerleaders, right? So they go into the perfect cheer. Well, that's what they're doing. It's just, we just need, you know what they need? You know what the Phoenix real estate market needs? One thing it's missing. It needs the perfect cheer. Well, who's going to do that? Well, Arizona Republic's trying really, really hard. Okay. Yeah, if that's how they want to roll. But what's going to happen? It's going to fall. It can't not. While at the same time, they're starting to rein in the money supply. They don't want to loan out the stuff. They're, you know, inflation's starting to be a problem. Then how they, you know, they're going to print money to pay off the debt. You know, and China's sitting there going, oh, don't you do that, because we're going. And then we're screwed. Got chickens. Well, you need to start learning. Because I'm telling you, it's going to come down to eating. I'll give you some more good news when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, let's take a look. Because, what else are you going to do? You need to at least be informed of what's going on. It's getting really, really, really strange. Stranger than fiction, I can tell you that. We have a really great writer, and I'll tell you about Bill Bonner. Bill Bonner, associated with Agora Financial, he and Addison Wiggins has been involved with one way or another on the radio or publishing their articles and so on Freedom's Phoenix, because they were the first ones that I remember back in the day. Oh, when was this? 2004, 5, around in there, that we started hearing about derivatives. And they wrote the book, Empire of Debt. And that was a really popular book. And then we had Addison Wiggins on Charles's show like every other week for a while. And they've been nice enough to post their company. It has a bunch of editors and writers and so on that do their blog and so on, that they'll post some articles, ones that they think are important on Freedom's Phoenix. So I'm always glad to get those, and we put them up because they always got good stuff to say. Well, I'm going to read, it's a short one, it'll probably only take a few minutes, and I'll go ahead and read this article. But I'll tell you, the first time I saw Bill Bonner, there was a thing called, I think it still goes on a little bit, maybe not as much, I think it moved down to Argentina, it's called the Era Society. And I went to the one in 2001 because Mark, Victor, and I wanted to check out a lot of different events to just get some ideas of how we would do the Freedom Summit. Well, that was the first time that I had in person met Dr. Ron Paul. And Congressman Paul gets up and he does his spiel, you know, same thing you heard, you know, they're going to spend us into the ground and we're screwed and this is why and this is their mindset and they don't know what they're doing and here it comes. So I go, okay, Dr. Paul, so what do you think we should do? Now, I mean, are you advocating for something? And he looked right at me and he goes, buy a gun. And I go, ho, ho, ho. Oh, let's cut right through it. Now, let's get right to the bone here. Yeah, just, you know, I understood exactly what he meant. It was that reason when he said that. And then, you know, started some research and he had spoken at two of our previous Freedom Summits. That's why I knew if he ever got an opportunity to get before an audience and do his spiel on the American people, man, it would cause a revolution. Well, it did. Well, at that same event was Bill Bonner. And he was talking about living overseas. And he does newsletters because he has a lot of financial advice. You know, he and a lot of his friends get rich. So, you know, I will pay $10,000 for your newsletter for me to keep getting rich and stay rich and not lose my money and whatever it is. So he has a lot of different newsletters that are targeted on different things. And it's like Doug Casey from Casey Research does kind of the same thing. A lot of these guys got, you know, like Doug Casey got filthy stinking rich when the economy took a dump at the end of the 70s and early 80s. If you understand the fundamentals and know why, that's where we get a lot of our contributions and keeps Freedom's Phoenix going and our workshop. All this stuff is funding from libertarians that are wealthy because they understand fundamentally what's really going on. You cannot escape the math. So they go, I don't care what they say. I know what this. So they sell this short, like subprime. Oh, they made bank. Yeehaw. And it's not a secret. That's why you read Freedom's Phoenix. You read stuff like what Bill Bonner has to say. You too could save your money. Well, now what do they want to do? They want to take all your pensions, retirement, and they're going to put it in one collective fund. You know, the government's going to save it for you because nobody else can because they know and love you. Well, these guys know they're bucking the trend. So Bill was there talking. He was really talking about he lives in the hinterland of France. At the time he did, and he was talking about, you know, he liked that and how you can find freedom. You just got to, you know, get off the beaten path and just go to small towns and not bother anybody, and they don't care. But the laws, you know, everywhere, it's here it comes. You know, it's like nowhere you can go. 3 weeks later, 9/11 hit. So I'm sure he has a lot of different things to say about a lot of things, but the fundamentals are the same. Let me go ahead and read this article. Bill Bonner says, how to invest in the government-based economy. Because that's what we got now. The Dow was up 9 points on Friday following a week of big news. Congress passed a bill permitting the U.S. government to take over the health sector, about 17% of U.S. GDP. Gross domestic product. Let's see. The feds don't have any money, right? They've got the biggest deficits ever and will have to borrow $2.4 trillion this year just to keep the lights on. And now comes news that Social Security has gone into deficit for the first time ever and 7 years ahead of schedule. What they mean is more money is going out than is coming in. They're always spending it as it was coming in. But now, you know, they don't have any of what they're supposed to save up. And now they're having to borrow more to pay out what everybody is entitled to that they promised them. So I'm going, oh, how's this entitlement thing working out? The feds took over the mortgage finance industry last year. Practically every single mortgage written last year was underwritten by the U.S. government. And they took over the auto business, too. They should be able to do for autos what they did for passenger trains. That is, they should turn Detroit into an Amtrak, which is to say a zombie city, if it isn't one already. Then there was the bailout of Greece. And not only that, there was a weak auction of federal debt. A few years ago, any one of these bits of news could have walloped the stock market. But investors didn't seem to know what to do with the news. The feds have taken over another big chunk of the economy, but what to make of it? Was that good news or bad news? The stock market seems unable to make up its mind. Finally, it ended the day with less than 10 points of movement. Gold investors had a better idea what to do. They bid up the price of the yellow metal $11. Even central banks are buyers. Central banks buy gold from Money News. And this is a story from Money News. Central banks around the world added 425.4 metric tons of gold to their reserves last year, the biggest increase since 1964, according to the World Gold Council. That represents a 1.4% gain to put their holdings at 30,000 tons in total. The increase was the first since 1988. Central banks in India, Russia, and China are among those boosting their gold reserves last year as the precious metal jumped 24%. Hitting a record of $1,226 an ounce in December, central banks now possess 18% of all gold ever mined. That's a lot. That number kind of surprised me. There has clearly been a renaissance of gold in central bankers' minds, Nick Moore, an analyst at Royal Bank of Scotland, told Bloomberg. It's not just been It's not just been central banks taking on gold, but a general shift for physical gold in the investment sector. Many are now singing gold's praises, with the precious metal up about 3% so far this year. Gold is quietly at the edge, becoming the world's second reservable currency, supplanting the euro and rivaling the dollar. Money manager Dennis Gartman wrote in his Gartman letter obtained by Bloomberg, "The trend shall continue months, if not years, into the future." Bill Bonner. This is a lot of people go, "Oh, Ernie, you're telling you'll get out of the stock market, buy gold. Look how much the stock market's gone up." Well, you know, I was more for it to fall. And what? And because of why? Maybe we're increasing manufacturing or something, mass production, or is it just government manipulation and bailout and banks? You know, it's coming, and there's nothing you can do. It's math. If you want to try and figure it out and outguess the bad guys, because all they're doing is, it's all good. You know, real estate's all good. You know when it's about to go? When everybody's telling you how good it is. You know, it's like everybody's chips on the table. Everybody all in again. You had some extra left over we didn't know about. And what do they do on the census? Here, I got it over here. Got it sitting over there. What am I? Question number one, how many people live or stay in your house? Question number two, were there any additional people staying there that you didn't list? Question number three, guys, get to the meat here. Question number three, is this house, apartment, or mobile home owned by you or someone in this household free and clear without a mortgage or loan? Why do they need that? I mean, what, you know, is it? And imagine, I mean, if you had an evil mind, not that anybody in the government is evil, mind you, but let's say you might be an evil government level of bureaucrat, de la, whatever, police state kind of guy. And you look and you go, well, let's see, we got all these guys that we could do a RICO seizure and check and got drugs and this and that and everything. But who goes to the top of the list? The people that own their home free and clear. It's worth taking. It's worth for, you know, selling. It's worth confiscating. It's worth something. You know, why would they need this? Why would I tell them? Don't tell them, man. Don't tell them.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Show must go on, and the show's going to go on whether you like it or not. And I put at the top of Freedom's Phoenix today, the love police. Love is spreading across the planet. And this was sent to me by a reader that wanted to, said, Ernie, wow, man, it's going global. Well, these guys, they call themselves the love police. They're just a couple of guys. They're probably in their 30s, and they're going out with a megaphone and a video camera. And sometimes they'll have a sign that says something like, get out of the matrix or whatever. And they're on the streets of London just telling people that, you know, it's all crap, man. Put a smile on your face. It's good. Don't worry about it. 15 gazillion cameras going. It's a really cool video. It's like 10 minutes, 52 seconds. But that it's a very cool video just showing the power of love. Well, police officers will come up. You know, you have to stop protesting. He goes, I'm not protesting. I'm just talking in a microphone. I'm in a megaphone. I can't do that, you know? So I can't really do it justice. You really need to go watch it. But I just want to play a few seconds of this, and you kind of get an idea of what's going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please lower your adrenaline levels. This is a love and compassion, a presentation by the love police.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a message from the Ministry for Health Propaganda and Swine Flu Information. Swine flu is incredibly dangerous, and it is now transmittable through eye contact or smiling at people. Stay miserable. Keep reading newspapers. Keep watching mainstream media on the TV. You are not a unique and beautiful snowflake. You are a consumer. Go back to sleep. Your government is in control.
Thinking is boring. Thinking is hard work, and it's not worth the energy. So, if you ever get tempted to think for yourself, quickly distract yourself. Buy a newspaper. Watch television.
I prefer not to think about reality. I like to stay infantile and read about fashionable things in Hollywood and Lindsay Lohan and her girl.
she broke up with, because these are the important things.
Thank you for choosing to work in a corporate zone, eat corporate food, drink in a corporate bar, and invest money in arms trade. You do not need to worry or have an opinion about killing people, because the mainstream media is doing it for you. So go back to sleep, earn your nice salary, everything is fine, you are just a flesh and bone human being, there is nothing more to life. Have another beer and carry on.
And go shopping. Everything is okay. He really hammers on that go shopping thing. And he does this in front of police and such all the time. And he's getting well known. And what was funny in the beginning, there's this one officer who's trying to, Bobby, he's trying to get him to stop. Oh, you just need a hug. And he's trying to hug him. And the cop keeps running around away from him. Everybody's laughing and so on. It's just hilarious. But the point that they're making is they're going, look, man, just unplug. This is just, it's all crap. It's all propaganda. And they're becoming very popular, which means they got to get targeted. You know, this is, you know, I think it's unique because I've seen this before. And they've been really amping it up. They're getting more and more notoriety. We started having them on Freedom's Phoenix when they first started, but it's been months, maybe a year ago that we had them up there. And so I really wanted to show them some props because some respect, because this is the way to do it. You know, just go out. It's all about the love. Now, some people, you know, they don't like it. You know, there's, you know, our comments here, you know, there's one gentleman, he goes, typical British idiocy or humor, not sure which. In either case, it's quite useless. If the love police think they're actually doing something useful to take on the man, they're seriously deluded. If what they could actually have an impact on, if they could actually have an impact on the tyranny that runs London, the authorities would arrest them immediately. Well, you know, they kind of want to stop them, but, you know, it's hard to argue with the love. See, Gandhi didn't look at passive resistance as or just civil disobedience or just not playing as a philosophy as much as it was a tactic. One of the quotes that a lot of people don't know, Gandhi in his autobiography was talking about one of the darkest days in India's history is when the British government disarmed the Indian people. And a lot of, ooh, he's about guns? No, he understood. You know, power comes from a barrel. You know, and it's all about force. He understood. So, you know, that wasn't the way that, you know, I don't know, he didn't even have an option to really resist that way. But he sure as heck had a tactic. Passive resistance. Because one of the reasons that it's so effective is it shows the oppressor how bad they are. Because, you know, these people are still human beings, but, you know, they're beating that out of them too. You take a 17-year-old kid and you put him in the Marines and you send him to Afghanistan and Iraq, put him in Fallujah and get all of his brain meat grinded. You know, with the blood of his friends all over him and blasting people and heat and just uncomfortable and all this rhetoric that's just, you know, the stress level. And then you put him back, oh, here, we want you to be a policeman. Oh, yeah, how's that going to work out? So this is, you know, they're creating these kinds of people. How do you stop it? How do you combat that? With more hate? You just get rage in return. It's with the love. So Low Tech Junkie writes on the comments on the story we have on Freedom's Phoenix, he goes, I completely disagree, Don. If you watch some of their videos, they are truly waking people up to the idiotic totalitarian laws that the citizenry yield to on a daily basis. I applaud Charlie. This man knows what he is doing, and he's doing it with love. And Cold Hermit writes, well, at least he can use a microphone. In my U.S. city, the use of microphones is now illegal in protest or any public actions. The attempt to hug a policeman here might result in charges of assault upon an officer, and you might get shot as well. Well, he's right about that. So, you know, it depends on where you are and how you want to do it. And, you know, I've been arrested before, you know, doing protests and stuff like that. You know, never charged. They always wind up letting you go or dropping charges or whatever. You know, then we sue, and they stop doing it after they know we sue every time they go stupid. But, you know, being arrested for trying to share some love, you know, I could do that. This is a very powerful technique, more than people think. War is over, if you want it. An entire sign campaign went worldwide. John Lennon and Yoko Ono did. Because the point, they put it in Sydney and in Europe and Britain and the U.S. and New Zealand. So that was their whole message was, look, man, this is all this crap is done if you just want it to be done. You're just being BS'd. That's why we go to Searchlight and do the kind of stuff that we do. What's the next one? As they were coming back, they picked up a lot of the signs and so on, and they knew the Tea Party Express had a route that they were taking to go into Phoenix and Flagstaff and so on through Arizona as they're going to wherever they're going. And so they made sure they took those signs and dotted the highways on their trail. they're everywhere. Oh, what can we do about it? I don't know. Now, nothing. Just let it go. At the people, we're going to have to start taking care of each other. But if you start losing control, then, some weird stuff happens. Double suicide bombings on rush hour Moscow subway kill 37, wound 100 plus. Two female suicide bombers blew themselves up in twin attacks on Moscow subway stations jam-packed with rush hour passengers, killing at least 37 people and wounding 102, officials said. They blamed the carnage on rebels from the Caucasus. Well, same thing. These breakaway countries, they just want to be left alone. They don't want to be part of whatever. They go in Chechnya and everything, lay waste to everybody and kill, and then you think there might be blowback. Or it's the government themselves do it to, you need us to save you. Who really benefits from this? The government will. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to advocate for which side? I'm supposed to do what? Let's all go whip butt. I think we're more effective by just changing ourselves and offering other people to join us. That's what I vote. That's, if I had to, I think that's the way to go. I mean, seriously, why not? Europe has left Greece hanging in the wind. However you dress it, the Greek package agreed by EU leaders, European Union, is a capitulation to German-Dutch demands. There will be no European debt union as long as Angela Merkel remains Iron Chancellor of Germany. Well, I'll tell you what's going on there. Then we can go into it. But, the bottom line is this. Greece is going. Is the European Union going to save one of their own, or are they just going to cut them off? Well, who's going to do the saving? Well, who's the strongest economies? Like Germany. They're going to the German people and say, yeah, you need to pay more taxes for Greece blowing all the money over here. Sound familiar? You need to pay more taxes for Goldman Sachs blowing all the money over here, or AIG to pay off Goldman Sachs. This is not going to get better. Oh, but everything's fine. It's leveling out. It's tapering off. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. I know what's going to happen. It's going to be, they're going to try and hold this out for a little while longer. When? Until when? Until after the election. That's what this all is about. And do one more election cycle. Are they going to be able to hold it that long? They weren't able to hold it long enough for this last election. So I don't know. But this summer, it's time to start planting little bitty baby gardens. I mean, just to learn, just to see what grows in your area, what you can do, how much you can produce, how close you can put the carrots together. How long you got to leave the radishes in there? Well, yeah, radishes, you should pick them about 3 to 4 weeks, they start getting woody. I didn't know that. I know that now because I like them. They were a little small, but they tasted much better when they're about 3 weeks old. But the thing is, I want to make sure that you guys know that it's all about just surviving. Get some food, buy some more food, and a little more food. And then underneath your bed, put some food. And then in your closet, there should be some food. And get some more food.